Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this very special edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am your host. And today, Barack Obama, I have seen the saucers. Former President Barack Obama confirms that Pentagon footage is real. And on this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are examining a week that brought some amazing revelations, not the least of which, former President Barack Obama saying that not only do UFOs and aliens exist, that he has seen the saucers and confirmed that the footage and the records of unidentified objects exist. And after 11 days of fighting, Hamas and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire. And no sooner was the sun come up this morning in the Middle East, but Palestinians immediately began attacking Jews and police on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Elsewhere around the world, the U.S. proposed a global minimum tax. In a nod to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, children have begun to receive the COVID vaccine from Fauci and the New World Order. And a new poll shows that 43% of millennials do not believe if God exists and doesn't care if he does or doesn't. Just business as usual on the front lines of the end times. Oh, and did I mention it's also Pentecost weekend? Time to fly, so buckle up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathering live in the chat room. We thank you, Lord, today for the opening of the bookstore, and we're so excited about that, and people are here right now, in studio right now, and we're excited about that, and we're excited about our camp meeting at Kelly Farm tomorrow, and it's going to be a good weekend, and Lord, we just ask for your blessing as people begin to come in from all over the world, all over the country, and we're just excited, Lord, to see what you're going to do with this time. And we ask you, Lord, to watch over everything that's said and done today. Watch over the camp meeting tomorrow and everything that's done on Sunday. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. If I sound a little bit frazzled, it's because I am. There's so much going on here right now, right across the street. We are just hours away, less than 2 hours away, from the grand opening of the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore here in St. Augustine. So if you are listening live and you have come down this weekend, today is the opening of the bookstore. We have had a couple of people going to Kelly Farm already. Well, the event at Kelly Farm does not take place until tomorrow morning at 11:30. So I have sent an emergency email out to everybody, and I posted on social media, and I'm letting you know right now, if you can hear this broadcast, today is the bookstore opening. Tomorrow is the camp meeting at Kelly Farm. I repeat, do not go to Kelly Farm today, because there is nothing happening today. All right, and with that, today we have live here in the studio, we have Lorianne from Caribou, Maine. She's come down for the weekend with her two kids, Haley and Liam, and they're excited. They have their Flight 777 t-shirts on, and they're ready to work the bookstore when we open at 2 p.m. today. And I spent some time talking with R.R. Ryder yesterday, and he's one of the people who went to Kelly Farm today. So hopefully not too many of you interpreted the email that way. But it was great talking with R.R. Ryder yesterday, and we had a whole bunch of people show up already, and people have been coming in all week long. Jeffrey from Kentucky came, and Marie Comfort's daughter and husband, they came by yesterday, and we took pictures, and it's a very exciting time. It's a very exciting time. Oh, there's R.R. Ryder in the chat room. He says, I just came from Kelly Farms. uh, Again, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're here to attend this weekend, please don't go to Kelly Farm today, but we are looking forward to seeing you at Kelly Farm tomorrow at 11:30 when the doors open. All right, so let's get on with today's program. But please keep in prayer the opening of the bookstore and the camp meeting tomorrow. And we're going to do street preaching on Sunday afternoon. And it's going to be a real good time of the NTEB family of believers from all over the world gathered together in one place. And we are excited to see what the Lord's going to do with that. If you're coming, welcome. I look forward to meeting each and every one of you. Let's get right into today's program. On Monday, we talked about get ready. That was the subject of Monday's podcast, telling everybody to get ready because after decades of public denial, the Pentagon admits that UFOs are real and are preparing to release everything in just about 2 or 3 weeks. And no sooner had we done that program, where just 48 hours after we did that program, Barack Obama goes on, it was an interview show with James Corden, and he said, absolutely right, UFOs are 100% real. Take a listen to Barack Obama confirming the existence of UFOs.
When it comes to aliens, there's some things I just can't tell you on air. But what is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
Yes, you guys, former President Obama is all but confirming the existence of UFOs with greater maneuverability and speed than anything that exists in the U.S. military. And he says they must be taken seriously. His comments come days after a Navy fighter pilot revealed airmen have seen unknown aircraft off the Virginia coast every day for 2 years. And this comes ahead of an expected report from the Pentagon on unexplained sightings that one former official says will, quote, shock people. Okay, Juan, I have to start with you because you've been subjected to me talking to you about this for so long. You know I am all in. I love this so much. Even going back to Buzz Aldrin, who said the probability of extraterrestrial life is, quote, almost certain. Everything from naval fighter pilots to Avi Loeb and so many more. Tell me you're into.
Yeah, why not? It's so much fun. You know, I think that Americans love this story. This is a story that could bring us together. I mean, really, I don't care what your politics are. Everybody's interested. Everybody's fascinated by it. If there was ever a reason to build a wall, this is it. I mean, if there was ever a reason to go with,
wow, news
with
alert.
President...
You know they come from space.
Yeah,
right?
President Reagan. Remember President Reagan's Star Wars program that was to defend us against... countries that would fire missiles at the USA. Well, this we could build now Star Wars to protect us against the aliens. So I'm all in. I agree, Emily. This is fascinating. I don't know how real it is because there's lots of things that could be unidentified that wouldn't be aliens. But boy, would it be fun to meet some.
Oh, yeah. And Jillian, look, I assume they're all friendly. With your Nat Security background, we know, of course, declassified programs like the Air Force's 1794, their saucer-shaped supersonic, but there's so much more. And tell me you think it's real, too.
So what I will say is you don't need me to say anything here. For Americans who have not been paying attention to this issue, Emily, the jig is up. We now have former presidents, former directors of national intelligence to Republican and Democrat presidents, members of Congress, senior members of Congress saying this is a real threat. Now, what remains to be seen and what nobody can tell us right now is whether these are objects that are believed to be who's behind them, right? Is it foreign life sources on other planets, or is it just America's adversaries and enemies developing technology faster than we're aware of? We don't know that yet, but as an example of how seriously the government is now taking this, in August, Emily, the Pentagon reacted their UFO task force. They call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. So they don't call them UFOs, but this is real.
It is so real. And Kaylee, to Jillian's point, all you have to do is listen to Joe Rogan's podcast with Bob Lazar to know exactly how long the military has been knowing about this and incorporating civilians. So give us your West Wing insider info.
Oh, I don't have any for you. That's too classified. But I do have a few news. I do have a few news alerts. One agreed to building a wall, be it in space, potentially.
I know, but whatever.
New headline.
News alert number two. We can never agree on anything from a bipartisan perspective.
All right, I'm just going to shut that clip off there. It just kind of devolved into nonsense, but you get the idea. Barack Obama wants everybody to know. He wants all his legions of followers, his millions of Twitter fans to know that when he was president, he did see these videos. And that is really kind of a startling revelation. Not that Obama is agreeing with everything else that's going on, but that he saw these videos 10 years ago and didn't say anything. And we did an article just a little while ago where this man, this whistleblower, had come out, and he was taking the U.S. government to task for not adequately preparing people for what's going on. And the United States government has known for decades of the existence of these crafts and these things, and they have denied and denied and denied. And not only that, they have made people who thought that these things were real, they have ostracized them and called them conspiracy theory nuts. And now all of a sudden there is an enormous about face, and they are saying, yes, absolutely, everybody knows about this, we've known for years. Well, so my question is, if you've known for years, why didn't you say anything? If you've known for years, why haven't you put measures in place to prepare the American people and the people around the world for obviously what's coming right down the pike, and that's a face-to-face meeting with whatever these creatures are? Now, if you believe the King James Bible, you know as well as I do, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, what were the days of Noah? Everybody just runs right to Genesis chapter 6, and they look at the Genesis 6 giants. They look at the global worldwide flood, which is a type of the tribulation. They look at Noah building the ark, which is a type of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But everybody skips Genesis chapter 5. And the days of Noah start in Genesis chapter 5. How do I know that? Because look at what Matthew 24:37 says. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And when you go to Genesis chapter 5, what do you read? You see people marrying and giving in marriage and having children. So when we compare scripture with scripture, sola scriptura, when we compare scripture with scripture, go to Genesis chapter 5. Now, I just read to you the verse from Matthew 24:38 that says that the days of Noah started with people marrying and giving in marriage and having children and all that good stuff, right? Well, go to Genesis chapter 5, and what do you see? You see a genealogy is what you see. You can pick it up anywhere in the entire chapter, but let's arbitrarily pick it up in verse 18, Genesis 5:18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after that, he begat Enoch 800 years. Wow. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, the passage doesn't mention it, but obviously, if Jared and Enoch and Mahalaleel and all these people are begatting children, obviously they got married to somebody. Obviously they had wives. What does Matthew 24:38 say? Matthew 24:38 says that that the days of Noah, they are marrying and giving in marriage and doing all that fun stuff. That's what's going on. And that's exactly what we see in Genesis chapter 5. And that now look in Genesis chapter 5. I'll reread verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, go back to Matthew 24:38, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll see exactly where the days of Noah begin. Matthew 24, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, Genesis 5 is before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and I just gave you a piece of the genealogy, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So the days of Noah, according to Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, don't start in Genesis chapter 6 with the Genesis 6 giants. They start in Genesis chapter 5. Now, what is the main event that precedes the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6? Enoch being taken up to heaven by God in a one-man rapture. Enoch wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile. And Enoch is a type picture of a Christian who never sees death because they're removed from off the face of this earth before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. So this is exactly where we are right now. This is exactly where we are in the front lines of the end times. Now, Tucker Carlson, he weighed in almost at the same time that Barack Obama weighed in. And this is what Tucker Carlson had to say. He said, it's time for answers. Take a listen.
So for a couple of years now, we've done regular segments on UFOs because there is a lot of evidence that maybe there's something to this thing. And then in the space of the last month or two, we've been drowned with evidence. By the way, on Sunday, we learned, no big deal, that UFOs have been flying into restricted airspace off the coast of Virginia every day for years. We learned this Sunday night in 60 Minutes. One former Navy commander, David Fravor, said he witnessed a UFO flying over the Pacific Ocean in November of 2004.
And we saw this little white tic-tac-looking object, and it's just kind of moving above the whitewater area.
As Dietrich circled above, Fravor went in for a closer look.
So you're sort of spiraling down?
Yep. The tic-tac still pointing north-south. It goes and just turns abruptly and starts mirroring me. So as I'm coming down, it starts coming up.
So it's mimicking your moves.
Yeah, it was aware we were there.
He said it was about the size of his F-18, with no markings, no wings, no exhaust plumes.
I'll see how close I can get. So I go like this, and it's climbing still. And when it gets right in front of me, it just disappears.
So we talked to David Fravor last night, and he told us something that was fascinating that we didn't know. So this happens. He sees a UFO very clearly while flying a military jet in 2004. But the military doesn't save the tape of the incident or any of the data on the ship. Why wouldn't you? It's clearly a security risk, but you ignore it. How many other UFOs have been ignored by the U.S. military? How many others have been hidden? Leslie Keene is one of the few people who might know the answer to that question. She's the author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. She joins us tonight. Leslie, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi,
so
Tucker. It's great to be with you tonight.
This is baffling on a... Well, I'm so glad that you're here. It's baffling on a bunch of different levels, but the most basic is... This has happened a lot, not just a few times, but according to 60 Minutes on Sunday, every day for years. What has the military's response to this been?
It is amazing, and I didn't even know till last night that some of the data had been confiscated, or at least we don't know where it is. I mean, the military's response so far has been a lot better than it used to be, Tucker. I've been covering this story for 20 years, and you know that we're in a real sea change right now, where the military is acknowledging that these things are real. Of course, we have a ways to go, but we have a report that's coming up, and I think we're really moving forward in a really good way right now.
Any idea, this is kind of parenthetical, but I've been thinking about it all day, any idea why after 70 years of lying about it and covering this up, the military is dribbling out details like this? Is there some purpose? Is this part of a PR strategy of some kind, do you think?
I don't look at it that way. I don't think it's any kind of orchestrated, you know, strategic move. I just think a number of circumstances happened to precipitate this. And one, the most important one being that Luis Elizondo resigned from his job at the Department of Defense and revealed the fact that he had been heading up a program there for 10 years. This program that was started off in 2007, you know, with the help of Harry Reid. And nobody knew that there was a department in, within the Department of Defense or a program within the Department of Defense studying UFOs until that moment. And that was a huge revelation. There were three videos that were released from the program. And it was just that's been a big change. And the military has been forced to acknowledge things that they wouldn't have had to admit before that.
Leaking got them moving. Lou Elizondo's on tomorrow night, by the way. I agree. I think he's a heroic figure in this story. Do you have any idea, you've covered it more than anybody, why generations of military officials felt the need to cover this up?
It's such a big and complex question, Tucker. I mean, the cover-up, if you want to call it a cover-up, it began in the 40s, 50s, 60s during the Cold War. So there was a lot of concern to because we were dealing with Russians, you know, they didn't want to have things get mixed up with all the issues of Russian aircraft and all the issues within the Cold War. I think there's been a concern about what to tell people when you can't explain something. There's something, you know, operating with impunity that shows very advanced technology. What do you tell people about that when you can't stop it, when you can't explain it? And I think there's also just this, there's a stigma, Tucker, that you're well aware of. You've been one of the people battling this stigma where, you know, it's just been considered for decades and decades to be something ridiculous. And people don't want to talk about something that's going to look make them look ridiculous. And it might even damage their careers. So there's so many factors that have kept this under wraps. And we're really at an important time right now. I'm so happy to see it changing after all these years.
I am, too. And it's important to tell the truth no matter what people think of it, as you well know. And, Leslie, thanks so
thank
much for
your coverage of it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, I think it's fascinating. Hard to think of a bigger story. Great to see you.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here.
So there you have Tucker Carlson, and he asks a really, really good question. He's asking, why did they cover it up for so many years and now all of a sudden they're doing an about face and they're admitting everything, that they have mountains of evidence, evidence that they've had, video evidence that is goes back 10, 20 years. And Tucker Carlson asked a really, really good question. He said, why are they suddenly coming out with it now? And why did they spend all these so much time covering it up? Well, that's a great question to ask in 2021, but we asked that question back in 2019. We did an article called Don't Call Them UFOs, but 2019 was the year that the United States government finally admitted increasing presence of unidentified aerial phenomenon. And on December 30th of 2019, we wrote this. Believe it or not, 2019 was the year that the United States government finally fessed up, at least in part, that there is more to UFOs and unidentified aerial phenomenon than they had been previously admitting. This newfound honesty was generated in part by the release of the videos showing the Navy pilots unable to catch up with the unidentified aircraft. 2019 was the year that the proverbial cat, at least partially, came out of the bag. Luke 21, 25 through 28 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, we understand when we rightly divide the Bible, that was Luke 21, 25 through 28. We understand when we rightly divide the Bible that those things are going to be taking place during the time of the Great Tribulation, during which is the last 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble. And we know that those things aren't going to be taking place right now, but just as every act has an opening act, every great performance has a warm-up act. What we're seeing now is the appetizer for the main course. And we are living in the overlap between the time of the end of the church age and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. And the main event that is going to go between those two, the end of the church age and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, that main event is something that we call the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we're going to be preaching about that all day tomorrow. If you're coming to Kelly Farm, the doors open at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. And if you need instructions or directions, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and you'll see various articles there. But if you are coming to Kelly Farm tomorrow, you are going to hear all day preaching about prophecy, about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we understand when we rightly divide, Luke chapter 21 is showing us a time that we're not going to be here for. But what are we seeing? It's funny, a couple of years ago, my younger brother got married, and he got married up at this place in Paterson, New Jersey, called the Brownstone. And it's large enough that you could have multiple events happening at the same time. And I'll never forget, we were in the main room, and his wedding reception had started, and we were enjoying the food and the conversation, the fellowship, the coffee, the cheesecake, all the good stuff that you have at a wedding reception. But when I looked across the hallway, I saw waiters and waitresses and busboys setting up an empty room for an event that had yet to start. And that event was not going to take place until our reception had concluded. But while we were enjoying his wedding reception, I got to watch the people setting up for the event that was coming after us. And that's exactly how you view things dispensationally. People say to me all the time, I don't understand what you mean when you say that we're living in the overlap. Well, the overlap is simply like the illustration of the wedding reception that I just gave you. We are in the closing moments of the church age. And we look out across the way, and what do we see? We see an unsaved world preparing to receive Antichrist. Antichrist is not going to come until we go, but we will see the man of sin, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. We are not going to live under Antichrist, but we will see him in his phase 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We are going to see him as the man of sin. After we go, he's going to become the son of perdition. Now, you might say to me, what do I base that on? Well, I base that on the Gospel of John. If you remember in John chapter 13, Jesus says that he it is that is going to betray me is right here, right now. And all the apostles start asking him, who is it, Lord? Who is it that's going to betray you? And Jesus says in John 13:26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So that's how it's going to go with Antichrist. Paul says he comes as the man of sin, comma, rapture, the son of perdition. Judas was always the man of sin. Judas, Jesus says this, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Jesus says in John chapter 8, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? That was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was a man of sin while he performed miracles with the other 11. When Jesus sent them all out two by two, Judas went with them. And what is that a picture of? That is a picture of the tares in among the wheat. And what does Matthew say? Let the two grow together until harvest time. When they came for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, for now is your hour and the power of darkness. And that's exactly what the unsaved world is preparing for. So I think you're starting to see when I say that we're living in the overlap, we're not living in the time of Jacob's trouble. We are firmly in the church age, even though it's rapidly closing. And we will not spend one moment in the time of Jacob's trouble. But just like the illustration of that wedding reception, you look across the hallway and it's not happening yet, but you see people putting things in place and they're preparing you for it. All these things with the, why do you think that last week they threw Bill Gates under the bus? He had been operating for the last 40 years. This affair that he had with his coworker, that was 20 years ago. Everybody knew about that. I mean, I didn't know about that. You didn't know about that. But everybody behind the scenes knew about that. Everybody at Microsoft knew about that. Why do you think Bill Gates has spent hundreds of millions of dollars giving grants to news outlets? Why would he do that? Well, so that they say nice things about him. And you remember all last year in 2020, what was Bill Gates doing? He was operating as the mouthpiece for the New World Order. He was using his own money. He spent over $1 billion to make sure that 7 pharmaceutical companies were able to launch the vaccines. They launched the vaccines. And now that everything is underway, guess what? Thanks, Bill. But we don't need you anymore. So now we're going to bring out the dirt that we have on you and you're going down like everybody else. And that's what happens when you follow Satan. That is, Satan eats his own. And when you have, if you are a follower of Satan instead of Jesus Christ and you serve the devil, when you're done serving him, there's no gold watch. There's no retirement ceremony. There's no pat in the back. There's no thank you for your service. They kill you. And that's exactly what's happening to Bill Gates right now. He'll never recover from this. And there's much more dirt to come. Just wait until they start talking about what he really talked about with Jeffrey Epstein. And even just 3 days ago, I saw an article linking him to taking flights on the infamous Lolita Express. Now, why did they protect him for all this time? And now why are they suddenly getting rid of him? Because he did the job that he was supposed to do, and now he's done. Now he's finished. His soon-to-be ex-wife is going to take half of all his money. And because she was there from the very beginning, she's going to get half of everything that comes in after the divorce. Because she started Microsoft with him. And this is what happens when you serve the devil. That's why when Judas was done serving the devil, what did he do? He went out to a tree and put a noose around his neck and mocked what Jesus would do on the cross just 12 hours later. And that's how Satan said thank you to Judas for the good service that he performed. Now, we read in Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 25, let me just get there. Acts chapter 1, verse 25, yeah, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Don't you find that odd? Judas, when he died, didn't go to hell. He obviously didn't go to heaven. So where did he go? Well, Acts 1:25. Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Where was that? I have no idea. It was probably down in the center of the earth somewhere. Why would God do that? Because Judas is getting ready to come back. Now, every time that I say that, I get pushback and people say, well, that sounds like a private interpretation, but it doesn't. Because when you think about what happens during the time of Jacob's trouble, lots of people come back. Do you remember in the Gospels talking about the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John? Jesus took them up to the mountain, and he allowed his glory to shine through. And Peter starts babbling, and he says, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter was losing his mind. Why? Because he saw Jesus transfigured. He saw the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And then he saw Moses, and then he saw Elijah. Now, that's what the Gospels record. And when you go to that passage tells you that Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus about his upcoming moment on the cross. Now, why would the Holy Spirit show you that? And then what does all this have to do with UFOs? Well, it has everything to do with UFOs, because the UFOs, which are officially here now. Remember last year I told you about that retired Israeli general, Chaim Eshed? And he had served in the Israeli army and the space program in Israel for 28 years. He is a retired professor, he is a highly decorated and respected military person in the Israeli army. And he said on December 7th of 2020, he said that, yes, the United States and Israel have been in contact with the aliens. And he said, I don't mean illegal immigrants. He said that the governments of the United States and the nation of Israel have been in direct contact with the space aliens. That's what Chaim Eshed said last year. Now, of course, we did that story. Everybody said we were crazy, but we weren't crazy, because that's exactly, and here we are, December, January, February, March, April, May. We're 5 months after that story, and what do we see? Everybody's talking about the UFOs. Everybody's saying, prepare yourself, prepare yourself. Why are they doing that? Well, I'll answer that question with a question. Why do so many Christian churches not teach a pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Why do I get so much vicious hate mail every time I do a new article on the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? People say to me, well, brother, we'll agree to disagree. No such thing. We will not agree to disagree. The Bible, it is not an interpretation of the Bible that there is a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, just like it is not an interpretation of the Bible that Christians who are born again in the church age have eternal security. Now, I can show you in the Bible people who do not have eternal security. They absolutely exist, and I can show you those people in the New Testament. But I can't show you anybody in the writings of Paul, who's our apostle, that does not have eternal security. I can show you people who lose their salvation in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I can show you people who lose their salvation in the book of Hebrews. And this is the passage that everybody turns to try and disprove Bible doctrine like eternal security. Hebrews chapter 6, right? Starting in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the word of God, the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, what do you match those verses with? You go to Matthew chapter 24, when you rightly divide. And then you look down in Matthew chapter 24, what do you see? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be... Here's a rapture, but it's not the church. There's no church in Matthew 24. When Jesus says, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let me ask you a question. All of you listening now who may be a post-toasty, and don't get upset when I say post-toasty. Don't lose your sense of humor. But if you're a post-tribulationalist, what do you do with verses that when Jesus says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains? If you're a born-again church member living in Florida like I am, how does that help me? Where's my escape plan? If the born again church is going to live under Antichrist, then the Apostle Paul was not such a good apostle because he gives us no instructions on how to live under Antichrist. You got to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Revelation 6 through 19. And all those places, guess what there's not? There's no church in the book of Revelation chapters 6 through 19. You couldn't find it with a magnifying glass until you get to Revelation 19, about 7 verses down, and it shows you the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it shows you the church in Revelation 19, 14, getting ready to mount up on white horses and return. I can show you that. I can show you the church coming back. But after Revelation chapter 4, you don't see the church on earth all the way until the second coming. Why not? There's no church in Matthew. There's no church in Mark. There's no church in Luke. Let me ask you a question. Turn to Mark chapter 16. If you think that these verses apply to the church age, then how about this? Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen that? Well, maybe at a charismatic church, but that's about it. They shall speak with new tongues. I've seen that replicated a time or two. But how about verse 18? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, now we're back in James chapter 5. Do you see how, just like a surfer going in and out of the pier posts, surfing at the beach, how the entire New Testament shows you, that's why Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we divide it, we see that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Hebrews, Revelation 6 through 19, James, whole sections of 1st and 2nd Peter, we see that these things don't apply to the born-again church living in the church age at all. So, I said all that to say this. We see an unsaved world preparing right now to receive Antichrist. That is what they're doing, and they are doing absolutely everything that lost people do. At the start of the program, I told you that they just took a new poll, and this new poll, according to 43% of millennials, do not know, care, or believe if God exists. Breitbart News says, younger Americans are reshaping the country with a philosophy of life that rejects faith in God and organized worship at the same time, defining success and morality in terms of personal happiness and economic social justice. A survey from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University found, the American Worldview Inventory 2021, an annual survey that examines the perspectives of adults aged 18 and over in the United States, found that while 57% of millennials consider themselves to be Christian, these are people born between 1984 and 2002, 43% don't know, care, or believe that God exists. And did you see revival during the darkest days of the COVID pandemic? Did you see revival as all these churches are being locked down? Did you see revival break out anywhere? Did you see one charismatic faith healer, just one, go on national television with a healing line saying, I can heal you? No, you didn't see that one time. That didn't happen. What a great opportunity that the charismatics missed to show the entire world, to show the rest of the Christian world, that we've been too harsh and wrongly so about their doctrinal beliefs, that they do have the power of healing. Well, the entire year of 2020 would have been a great time to show that to anybody one time. And with everybody home on lockdown, you would have had the entire world watching that program. And yet, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Robert Tilton, Rod Parsley, Todd, whatever his name is, they were all conspicuous by their absence. I used to get that card if my library book was returned late. They would say, they would send me this card which showed a whole bunch of books on a shelf with a missing space with an arrow pointing to it, and the headline would say, conspicuous by its absence. And they were meaning that my book needed to be returned. How come we didn't see one single charismatic take the lead during the... Now, you might say to me, well, hey, brother, you're being too harsh. I'm not being harsh. These are people that make claims all day, every day. They have entire worldwide ministries. When Benny Hinn comes to town, there's so many people that want to attend his healing services that he has to hold them in places like football and basketball stadiums. Tomorrow, we're having about 137 people who have signed on for the camp meeting tomorrow. And we are absolutely thrilled that that many people can actually make it. Well, I mean, I can't compare that to what Benny Hinn does. He can say that he's having revival services and he'll get 27,000 people who will fill the local sports stadium to the town that he comes to. And he'll have the healing lines and he'll hit people in the forehead. And, you know, everybody will fall down and pretend that they're slain in the spirit, but nobody gets healed. You never read about it in the papers. What you read about is the people who thought they were healed, they die shortly afterwards. I've seen lots of interviews like that with the angry children of the people who died, who trusted people like Benny Hinn. Now, what does all that have to do with UFOs? Well, Matthew chapter 24 says this. When they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we sure would love a sign, and we sure would love a kind of a signpost time-wise. Matthew 24:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, that's Jewish, the disciples, Jewish, came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, here it is. Here is the number, the very first sign in a whole chapter with nothing but signs. The very first sign is this: take heed that no man deceive you. So what does that tell me? That tells me that in the immediate moments after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place, we are going to be ushered into a time of great deception. Because Jesus said the very first thing you want, if you want a sign, here it is. First thing, global deception. Luke chapter 2 says that when Jesus came the first time, there was a global tax. Well, we're talking about a global tax today too. The United States wants to do that. And all these things are pointing to us getting out of here on flight 777 and an unsaved world. Now, the people who are left behind after the rapture, what are they going to deal with? Well, they're going to have to deal with these space aliens. Somebody asked me last week, well, wait a second. You say that they're Genesis 6 giants and fallen angels. How do you reckon, what are they doing with the spacecrafts? Well, that's the deception. Fallen angels don't need spacecrafts. They can fly just by propelling themselves. Because they are supernatural beings. Fallen angels can materialize and dematerialize. They can leave one place and show up in another place. And when you're supernatural, you can do things like that. So why bother with the spacecraft? Well, because that's what gets your eyes off of the Bible and onto something brand new. And this is all part and parcel of what's coming down the pike. And it's going to be a time of universal deception. How much of what happened last year in 2020 did you actually believe? I didn't believe hardly any of it. In fact, I disbelieved all of it from the perspective of what they were telling me. But I believe every bit of it from the perspective that Jesus says that that a time of global deception is going to be in place. And so these things, anything you see happening in the Bible doesn't happen instantaneously. There's a ramp up time. If you look at Matthew chapter one follows 400 years of silence from God. And then everything starts coming in slowly. The wise men, they see the star and they follow the star and they finally get to where the baby Jesus is. But if you read the passage carefully, it took them about 2 years to get there. That's how long it took them to go from, they were probably Iran, Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, that area, because that's where Abraham was. And it took them just under 2 years to get there. Because when they get there and they bring their gifts, they don't bring their gifts to the manger. They bring it to the house where Jesus and his mother is. That's what the passage says. When you see those Christmas figurines and you see the gift of the Magi, and you see the camels and the three wise men, and they're all standing around this manger, that's not how it happened in the Bible. It took those wise men about 2 years to get there. It didn't happen instantaneously. And when you go to the book of Acts and you see that the Holy Ghost begins to become, you have the day of Pentecost, which this Sunday, May 23rd, is Pentecost. Some people think the rapture might be Sunday or Saturday. I'm hoping it is. That's one reason why we're holding this weekend on Pentecost weekend. I'm not calling for the rapture. I'm not predicting the rapture. But if you were going to have the rapture, what a great time, because that's when the church started, on the day of Pentecost. In 2 days, it's going to be the day of Pentecost 2021. And it's springtime. What does Song of Solomon say in Song of Solomon chapter 2? Song of Solomon chapter 2, starting in verse 8. The voice of my beloved, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And what time of the year is that? Solomon tells you in the very next verse. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. For the last 4 or 5 weeks, right outside my patio, I have been hearing the beautiful sounds of the birds chirping incessantly, but they weren't doing that 2 months ago. They did it just around the same time that spring starts. And here in Song of Solomon chapter 2, what do we see? We see something that looks a whole lot like a rapture, and it's definitely taking place in the springtime, which is no coincidence. That's when the church started. Now, the church was created when Jesus went to the cross, but the church was started, if you understand the semantic difference there. It was created when Jesus shed his blood. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Paul says we've been bought with a price. That price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. The church was created at Calvary, but the church was started on the day of Pentecost. And this Sunday, it's going to be the day of Pentecost. So when we look at all these things, how do we understand the UFOs? How do we understand that just until 2 years ago, the government position had been the same that it's been since 1947, when that weather balloon went down in Roswell, and they've known about that for at least 75 years, and they've been covering it up and covering it up and covering it up. Barack Obama was president between 2008 and 2016. He was president for 8 years. And now all of a sudden, 2 days ago, he says, yeah, I knew about that the whole time. I just didn't say anything. And now they're not just talking about it. They are releasing these stories through every conceivable media outlet that's out there. And why? Because they're preparing you. Now, I have a hunch, and it's just my personal opinion, but I think one reason why they have not been saying anything to the public for the last 70 some years is because they've been waiting until everything was in place. And I think when they release it to the public, they're not going to release one or two. They're going to present our new leaders, our new masters. And you know, again, it's just my opinion. But look, we are in a time of universal and global deception. So if you get outside the pages of that King James Bible, you have no guarantee that what you're hearing is truth. And everything that you hear me say, if you can't confirm it through the pages of a King James Bible, don't believe it. I mean, everybody's allowed to have their opinion, and I certainly have mine. But when I look at that King James Bible and then I read the news, when I look at that King James Bible and I see how everything is going and how everything is turning, we said 6 months ago, we said, watch out, at some point there's going to be a microchip inside the vaccines. And everybody slammed us, Twitter suspended us, Facebook put us in Facebook jail for a couple of days. I mean, we paid a high price for that. Right up until 2 weeks ago, when 60 Minutes, who has kind of been the UFO factory outlet for the last month, 60 Minutes just a couple of weeks ago, showed you that interview with one of the main scientists at DARPA, which is the secret projects outlet of the Pentagon. And what was he talking about? Oh, yeah, we're working on this new vaccine. It's going to have a little bit of a chip in there, and we're going to track some things. Don't worry about it. It's not the mark of the beast. And there it is, just like that. And so everything that we've been saying has really been right on the money. I can't think of a single article that we've done that was wrong in terms of what it espoused, because we're getting our information from the King James Bible. And Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, what does that say? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5 says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And then, go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and what is he talking about? Verse 15, Isaiah 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, when the overflowings, this is the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's right here in Isaiah chapter 28. And then, when you get a little bit farther down, it says this in Isaiah 28, verses 20-21. Isaiah 28, verses 20-21. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. And that's how it's going to go, a time of universal deception. And the deception is happening right now, and it's been happening for the last 14 months. And already we see the casualties. People like Bill Gates, who have been used and thrown off to the side. And who knows what's going to pop up next. But now that they have us exactly where they want us, they have the vast majority, 139 million Americans have agreed to take the COVID jab. Are you one of those people? I hope you live through it. I hope you don't have crazy side effects. I know people who have died from it. And it's real, and it's scary. And That time of global deception, it is knocking at the door. But before that takes place, before that event is started, we who believe and are born again and are saved according to the gospel of the grace of God, we are going to be on flight 777 and we're going to be up in the clouds. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that that might be this weekend. But if it's not this weekend, we are here on the front lines of the end times and we are prepared to go as far and as long as it takes to get the job done. What do we say here? We say the war is real and the battle is hot and the time is short. And I say to the fight. For those of you who are attending our camp meeting weekend, and even right now our recording studio is filled with people listening to this podcast, which is kind of a unique experience for me. I kind of like it. I've actually never had people sitting here before. It's kind of cool. I like it. And I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow. So please, for those of you who are coming, I'm very much looking forward to meeting all of you. For those of you who can't attend, we will try to have some videos and things that we're going to post. We will definitely be having a video. We are going to have a Q&A with Pastor Joel Tilson of Suncoast Baptist Church, and he's coming up with his crew today, and we are going to do an open panel forum. An open forum panel discussion on the Genesis 6 giants and all these amazing things that the Bible talks about. And of course, we're going to have preaching and Bible teaching. We're going to have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to have praise and testimony. So if you are attending, I'm looking forward to meeting you. And if you can't attend, please keep everything in prayer. Please pray that God keeps the rain away, that everybody has traveling mercies, and that most of all, he be lifted up. Thank you very, very much for tuning into this program. We may or may not be doing a Sunday morning, house church Sunday morning service. We probably will, but I just have to see how this weekend goes. So thank you for tuning in today, and Lord willing, we'll see you 2 o'clock at the bookstore opening today, 11:30 Saturday morning for the camp meeting. And Sunday, we're going to go out in the streets on St. George Street, and we're going to street preach and hand out gospel tracts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Faith for the widow, hope for the orphan. the broken, faith for the widow, hope for the orphan, strength for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations.